Guards, Guards, by Terry Pratchett. Read by Nigel Planer. This is where the dragons went. They lie, not dead, not asleep, not waiting, because waiting implies expectation. Possibly the word we're looking for here is dormant. And although the space they occupy isn't like normal space, nevertheless they are packed in tightly. Not a cubic inch there, but is filled by a claw, a talon, a scale, the tip of a tail. So the effect is like one of those trick drawings, and your eyeballs eventually realise that the space between each dragon is, in fact, another dragon. They could put you in mind of a can of sardines, if you thought sardines were huge and scaly and proud and arrogant. And presumably, somewhere there's the key. In another space entirely, it was early morning in Ankh-Morpork, oldest and greatest and grubbiest of cities. A thin drizzle dripped from the grey sky and punctuated the river mist that coiled among the streets. Rats of various species went about their nocturnal occasions. Under night's damp cloak, assassins assassinated, thieves thieved, hussies hustled, and so on. And drunken Captain Vimes of the night watch staggered slowly down the street, folded gently into the gutter outside the watchhouse, and lay there while above him strange letters made of light sizzled in the damp and changed colour.
The city was a what's name? Thing. Woman. That's what it was. Woman. Roaring, ancient, centuries old. Strung you along, let you fall in the thingy, love with her. Then kicked you in a ear thingy, in your mouth. Tongue, tonsils, teeth, that's what it, she did. She was a thing, you know. Lady dog. Puppy, hen, bitch. And then you hated her. And just when you thought you'd got her it out of your whatever, then she opened her great, booming, rotten heart to you. Caught you off thing. Ants. That's it, yeah. Never knew where you stood. Lay. Only thing you were sure of, you couldn't let her go because she was yours, all you had, even in her gutters.
Damp darkness shrouded the venerable buildings of Unseen University, Premier College of Wizardry. The only light was a faint octarine flicker from the tiny windows of the new high-energy magic building where keen-edged minds were probing the very fabric of the universe, whether it liked it or not. And there was light, of course, in the library. The library was the greatest assemblage of magical texts anywhere in the multiverse. Thousands of volumes of occult lore weighted its shelves. It was said that since vast amounts of magic can seriously distort the mundane world, the library did not obey the normal rules of space and time. It was said that it went on forever. It was said that you could wander for days among the distant shelves, that there were lost tribes of research students somewhere in there, that strange things lurked in forgotten alcoves and were preyed on by other things that were even stranger. All this was untrue. The truth is that even big collections of ordinary books distort space, as can readily be proved by anyone who has been around a really old-fashioned second-hand bookshop, one of those that look as though they were designed by M. Escher on a bad day and has more staircases than stories, and those rows of shelves which end in little doors that are surely too small for a full-sized human to enter. The relevant equation is knowledge equals power equals energy equals matter equals mass. A good bookshop is just a genteel black hole that knows how to read.